John Rosa joining us on our Tuned In program again. Boone County Landfill, Boone County Recycling, and star of stage screen. Whatever. So we have a winter weather issue coming your way here.
Darn it.
Do we try to get out here early and get our recycling stuff picked up? What's the deal happening here? So
I don't know. It's moving in, this afternoon? I think Bill usually gets the business route all picked up by then, so we're in good shape with that. I guess just see how it all shakes out and roll with it. And give us a little time to clean up the snow around the drop-off area, if you're going to use the drop-off area.
Oh, yeah, so, that's a lot of people do.
They do.
Just the amount. You get a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
I always listen to you.
Oh.
The recorded message. Look at the sign.
I hear some feedback about that every now and then. I think I need to update it, too.
Get us a new message on there. Yeah. Hey, you, what are you throwing in there? Something like that. A lot of cardboard. I saw a lot of cardboard out there the last day, which that's good.
Yep.
Cardboard you got a market for.
That's right. That's an easy one, too. You know, if you're a recycler or a non-recycler and you want to start recycling, I always encourage people to start easy. And the easiest one is cardboard. It's bountiful, I guess, out there. If you do any online ordering, you get boxes and cereal boxes, all kinds of containers of boxes and cardboard out there. So excuse me. That's the easy one to start with.
I bring my grandson. He's into the breaking them down part, so he always likes to look to see what other boxes people have thrown in there, too. So
maybe he could stand up there and be like, here, give me your box. Let me smash that for you.
He does. He likes to do it. I make sure, some things you get boxes where things have been shipped in. You might have the metal staples in there. I try to remove those just to be courteous for you.
Thank you. Every bit helps. The company we work with would say it's fine, you know, a little bit here and there is not a big deal, but I always encourage you, the more you can do, the better. You know, if you can remove that big staple that's holding it together or the tape, you know, if a box that's been taped up 5-6 times has a pretty good layer of tape, let's remove that. But whatever you can do, the more the better. So
I do appreciate the people that do that, because a lot of times that means you're reusing it a lot.
Yep, that's right.
That's good.
Yep.
But and if there's a styrofoam type packing in there, don't throw that in there.
Oh man,
that's one of the easy.
Yeah.
I mean, people do, and they just go, I'll just throw that all in.
Yeah. So. Well, it came in the shipping box, right? Yeah. So the mentality, shove it back in there and then throw it in there. And it's not. That styrofoam's going to be removed. Just put it in your garbage. That's where it has to go, unfortunately.
And that's until somebody comes up with a better plan.
Yeah. I think you could recycle styrofoam in Omaha, I believe, is the closest one. At one point, I looked that up. But it's hard to justify hauling, 8 pounds of styrofoam to
How hard Omaha. Is it to keep up on Mark, because that's the big, of course, we are a subsidiary, I'm saying, for Mid-America, but which is a recycling, it's not the big power group thing, but it's a recycling effort, and that's one of the challenges, because they're as good as the markets are. I mean, that's it. If they can find a market, and sometimes you find niche markets like some of those bottles and glass and things like that.
But, certainly.
It's a challenge, and they vary. The markets vary.
And, you know, and then they're susceptible to what's happening out in the world of, you know, suddenly there's an influx of a need for this material, and then they don't have it. Well, by the time they would actually get it, that market may be gone. Or, you know, now we want cardboard. Well, suddenly it drops, and then it's like, well, now we have to store it, and we have to sit on it, shove it in back in a warehouse, and wait for the markets to climb back up. So, that would be tough, I think. And that's, I think, kind of the reason we got out of that years ago, with playing the markets and waiting for it, and then the cost and the overhead and storage and just a lot of things. It's the comfort and ease to just say, done with that, here, go ahead.
We'll work with you, and you handle all of that.
And we appreciate having that. You know, when things go really bad and it's like, the markets are terrible, we still have a source for our stuff to go. So that has a lot of value to us, that we can still divert that from our landfill.
So it's all about diversion.
Yeah, it is.
That's all about it. Extend that life.
Yeah.
unfortunately, it does have a lifespan. Yeah. So
it seems like it's less anymore. If you talk about like appliances and TVs, and we've banned the screens and TVs
sure.
from our landfill a couple years ago, and we did it voluntarily before that, and people chose to make the right decision back then. But then we went to the hard line with it to say no more in our landfill. And wow, I mean, we get the old TVs, the ones that weigh 300 or 400 pounds. It yeah. seems like those old school ones, and we get just as many of the flat screens anymore, that haven't been around nearly as long. You take those old TVs that were around for 30, 40 years, who knows how long, and compare them to the flat ones that are, more like 10 years.
Sure.
Same amounts coming in. So stuff doesn't seem to last. I sound old and crotchety when I say that. Back in my day, but, I think there's a lot of truth to it. It's more disposable society and the quality of things.
And the upside for those that do bring in or at least recycle the monitors, the things like that. There are things in there that mm-hmm. are recyclable.
Yep.
And the question is the market. And at one time, I think they were sending it to China, but I don't know if they still
yeah.
do. But that's the downside of, do we have a market for yeah. those things?
Yeah, and thank goodness we do, to have those companies that make that available and provide that service, frankly. So, with TVs, what we charge is, $15 per screen. We're not making any money. I would venture that we're pushing for breaking even at that with those amounts, what we're charging and then what we get charged to pass that along. But then they're dismantling and they're taking apart everything that can be recycled. They're recovering the precious metals that are inside, and there's a lot of connections with gold and silver, some precious mm-hmm. things. And not a lot. I mean, it's not like you can harvest a great deal of
gold.
Well,
that's their business is handling all that.
Yep.
So.
That's right. Yep. Which is good, and that's another good thing to divert away from just throwing it away. And that's the mindset is, let's make sure that we're doing everything we can with our stuff instead of just saying, send it to the landfill. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Get it gone. I don't care. Well, yeah, we're running out of space, and we need to start caring a little bit more.
That's brown metal, do we call that? Or is that the electronics stuff like that?
I think so, yeah. And not white goods.
Yeah.
That's more the appliance.
That's the appliances.
Yep.
And that those also are recyclable.
Mm-hmm.
The metal part, we know there are companies that just take the metal. But there are parts of those nowadays, too. You get the new electronic ones, and they've got the printed circuits on them as well.
Yep, that's right.
So many things.
So much stuff.
It is.
Yeah,
it is kind of a disposable society, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's sad, I guess. I think we all kind of get comfortable with that to some capacity, too, of, it's okay. That's fine. Just throw it away. Or, it's time. And there is, the purpose of a landfill. We need to be there, and we need to provide that service mm-hmm. for things that ultimately can't be used anymore, or have no value, no market for the recycling materials in it. So it needs to have a place to go. But we want to make sure that we're doing everything possible again to divert it before it becomes before it comes to the landfill.
One of the things that I'd seen prior to you being there and during the time you've been there, food waste. Mm. We get a lot of food that doesn't, not that it's recyclable, but there are ways that it can be used.
Yeah. Yeah. And certainly like to see more of that done in our communities. And really been thinking more and more about that, to where what else can we do in our community to provide that? And can we get more backyard composting? Can we do something to divert that food waste? And why is that so important, I guess, to keep out of our landfill would be a question, just throw it away, whatever. Well, it's not just a matter of throwing it away and wasting space, but food getting buried in our landfill, what happens to it when it sits there and underground and doesn't get that get the air, the oxygen to break it down.
The air to do the break it down.
To biodegrade it. If we take that away, which happens in a landfill, you bury it, you entomb it, you don't give it the oxygen, it's going to create methane gas, something that's 20 times worse than carbon dioxide in our environment. And so let's do the right thing with it. If we divert it away, compost it, it turns into something good back into our soils, something with good nutrients, goes to a landfill, it waste space and doesn't break down very fast, if at all. I would question if it ever does, but instead sits there and ferments, if you will, and creates something harmful to the environment. So it's twofold, you know, of negatives versus that one positive to say, well, let's just, well, eat your food, first of all.
Yeah.
Don't waste it. You know, take good care of it, value it, use it as much as possible. Let's eat it, give it to animals, and then turn it to compost. And last thing should happen to is to go to a landfill. So yeah, there's certainly a need, I think, out there to do a better job with our food.
If you guys did the test bore in an old part of the landfill, people would be shocked, I think, about what they would be, what you would find.
Yeah. The one story I've shared in the past, too, is when we built this last cell, it's $1.6 million to build the next area to take garbage. And, you know, we want to not fill that up very fast before we have to make our next and probably our final one as currently built. We wanted to slow that down. But when they were building that cell, they excavated into an area of the landfill. It was probably back in the original part back in the 70s, 80s, but and I need to get a picture from our engineers, but they found when they were excavating in that area into clearing out some of that, the removing the soil in that area, got down into some of the garbage that had been dropped, and there was a newspaper from the 70s recovered. You could still read the date on this newspaper. So when you say, oh, the landfill, it'll eventually break down, I disagree. If a newspaper doesn't break down after 40, 50 years, I don't know. Do you think plastic will? You think any of that
stuff
styrofoam?
And that's the part. You are required to seal those up. I mean, that's right. Part of that's yeah. up. And so you do eliminate the air from it.
Yeah,
and
we can't just leave it exposed. By our DNR regulations, we have daily and intermediate cover requirements. So stuff that comes in, sometimes we use a spray material as much as we can to not waste that space. But otherwise, we're throwing dirt over the top of it, packing it down, covering it so that the stuff doesn't fly out or keep critters from coming in and eating it and dragging it out. So it's part of the requirement. So we have to keep it there. And the drawback is then we don't let it get air as much, and it doesn't break down nearly as fast. So, yeah.
Except to make methane gas. Again, not a good thing.
No. Unless you'd have a system to capture it and reuse it, but even then, why, let's not produce it in the first place.
Well, we're not of the scale that that's even practical.
No. The threshold, I guess, is supposed to be about 100,000 ton a year. We were getting up there, you know, close for a while, but we want to tame that back. We don't want to produce more. But you get those big landfills. The other interesting thing, I think, anyway, is a bigger landfill would push for having yard waste allowed to be buried in their landfill.
Sure.
Because that, again, would produce more methane gas. If they are set up to capture it and reuse it, then, yeah, let's throw it in there. Let's produce more. Let's capture it and reuse it. But then those smaller landfills like ours that don't meet that criteria and threshold, we want none of it. So it's yard waste is one of them fickle things. And we want all or none. And again, you have to know what's in your environment, what's in your area, what's available, what the service is. So if you're throwing away yard waste and sneaking it into a black plastic bag and throwing it away somehow, you're not helping. So please put the yard waste in the proper facility.
Well, I'm trying to think. Yeah, to the 80s, 90s, when the DNR said no, I mean, eliminated yard waste.
Yeah.
Or grass clippings, I think, is probably the one that comes to
that's
mind.
That's a big one. Yeah.
That's a big one. So.
Yep.
Oh, well.
And again, it's one of
them. It was easy.
Huh? Don't capture it either. Don't bag it up and then bring it out to our yard waste area. Please don't do that. Give it back. Put it right back into your lawn. So grind it back up and mulch it back up and put it back into your soil. Keep the nutrients on your own site.
At one point, you know, I always said you were the one place that wanted yard waste for your composting and stuff like that. But that's, again, that is a challenge also to be able to do that and may not be all that beneficial.
That's right. Yeah,
I mean, you've got plenty of dirt to cover things right now. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, we do put it to use, and it is we try to make it into a good thing for us. But we get a huge pile. Then what do we do with it? Well, we have to grind it usually a couple times, run it through our grinder to then let it sit and turn into good compost material that we can then use for cover. So it's a process. It takes a lot of time, to let it finish breaking down.
Yep. But also, Mother Nature does that part of it for you.
Yep. and but also the time with manpower and equipment running to grind it, to mulch it up, to then let it sit and spend more time. So it's a process for sure. I would hope that a lot of loose limbs are done in Boone County. I mean, I think everything is blown over or down or off the branches or off the trees. I mean, and whew, man, alive.
It was, it's been quite the challenge.
Yeah.
Now, again, there have been a lot. I don't think so because, well, it depends what they do with ash trees.
There's that too.
There's a lot of those out there too. But that makes good firewood too.
That's true.
I guess. As long as we already got the emerald ash borer around, it's going to be there. I was going to say, you mentioned again the going around the business route, picking up. How are the participants on there? Because that's usually cardboard, white paper, usually white office paper, cardboard. We're highly recyclable.
Absolutely.
And highly sought after. So please do it right.
Yep.
Have you been adding on? What's happening with that? Because that's one of those where back in America Recycles, we used to do a little recognition and kind of pandemic took care of doing some of that stuff.
Yep. There's
I'm sorry. But this is how much we did doing the collecting, all this. It would have filled this room. You know, I remember when you were out at the Herb Center and told them that. And a lot of those people are going, whoa, that's a big chunk.
And when you put it into something that's relevant right around you of how much and what the impact is, certainly. I think we're holding steady. You know, we'll get a business. We'll get some things added, some other ones that just doesn't seem to work out. Actually, we just try to streamline more of our stuff, more operations, and you know, back in that pandemic, that funky time, I guess, if you will.
Well,
you
that's
know,
a good
it gave
one.
Us opportunity.
I like that. Funky
we'll
time.
That. Okay. It gave us the opportunity to use that as a time to say, well, we can't do these things anymore, you know, because we were trying to be very accommodating to businesses to say, yeah, you do it, we'll help you out. Well, we also need the business to help us out. You know, we provide that service at no cost. So the expectation level to say, you know, we'll leave it over there. You know, you come into our business and we come in through our, you know, the whole building and then we need to make that a little bit faster and easier and more efficient on our end. So when a recycling business truck pulls up, we need to be able to hop out, get it loaded as quick as possible. Now, your amount of recycling that you do is certainly different than what other larger just because you don't have the volume of cardboard. Yours more is office space. I'm sure you have some cardboard on occasion, and we certainly take that too when it's available. But you know, we try to tailor it to what's best for the company. And whether it's dropping off a recycle bag, you fill it up with a lot of papers, you can throw in that the bottled water empty container, you know, you can throw that in there too. It's all single stream. So, you know, that's nice and easy. We swap bags, it's good to go. And then you get the other companies that have a pile of cardboard and several boxes and, you know, a bigger impact, if you will. Again, you can throw the papers and the plastic that meets the criteria all in that container, and then we'll haul that away separately. So we try to tailor it to the business of what we can do with the expectation that you have to do something. We're not going to go around and pick all that stuff up. You know, six different places you're going to dump bags and that kind of stuff. So, you know, meet us partway. Yeah. Make a little effort. We'll make an effort too, and together we can get that done.
Like for us, if we get some equipment in, it's usually cardboard box, usually foam packed. Just saying. And so we take it out, the foam goes in the garbage.
Thank you.
We'll break down the box, and we might get two or three of them, and then when the recycling guy comes, bring that out with the rest of our white paper and
you
stuff.
Bet. Throw it out there, and if it's one of those things where you're not scheduled till the next week, you know, it came in the day after the recycling guy was here, and you don't want to wait. There's always the 24-hour drop-off site.
Sure.
Or come out to the landfill. You can run through our transfer station and drop it off right there if you have a good supply of it.
And see everybody in person.
That's right. And see what happens to it, actually, too, which is an interesting part to why we're so adamant about not throwing the nasty stuff in there and not throwing food waste or disposable diapers. You know, if you've heard my voice at the and heard my angst at the drop-off site with that diaper thing. I get a lot of feedback about that because people joke about, really? And it's like, yeah, we have to tell people not to throw nasty, dirty diapers in there because there's a human aspect with that to say, when it comes out to our recycling facility, we're going through some of that stuff to remove some of those things. And it's like, imagine, okay, fine. I mean, fair is fair. Why don't you pick it out? That's nobody wants to do that.
I've watched, you know, what you do when you're single streaming, and you talk about the contamination that's in there too.
Yes.
I'm thinking a lot of people would be surprised how much actually comes out and ends up going back to the landfill.
Yeah. Yep. There's a 16-foot dump trailer that we sit on the side and throw the stuff that shouldn't be in there. It's a lot of plastic bags and styrofoam and food contaminated things, all kinds of stuff. You know, a lot of plastic stuff that just doesn't meet the criteria gets thrown in there. But we fill that up on a regular basis, and it's a 16-foot dump trailer full of stuff that shouldn't be in there. Now, overall, we do a good job in Boone County, but let's just not settle for saying, oh, well, it's good enough, or that's an easy way for me to throw away things. You're abusing the system. Please don't do that. Do the right things. Just put the right materials in.
Remember, it's all voluntary, and it'll be as successful as you make it.
Yep, that's right.
So if you help, and I know because I remember back people that grew up during World War II, you know, because you can tell they would take the top and the bottom off the can and flatten it, you know, because that's what they did because that got recycled. That got reused.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
You know, since then, product containers have changed. Let's go with that.
There you go. Yeah.
And maybe not always for the better.
That's right. Yeah. So. Goods and bads. I mean, yeah, it's easier. There's a lot of good things about it. But the bad part is, too, then it's you start mixing those things together, and suddenly it doesn't really have a market anymore and becomes a disposable thing. So, and always keep in mind, you know, stuff can only be recycled so many times before it actually just can't happen anymore and it turns to garbage. So when you're using things, when you are, you know, recycling, good job. Okay. When you reuse it over and over, eventually it's going to break down. Eventually it'll go to a landfill. That's the truth.
It is. Bottom line.
That is.
It will end up doing that. I know that, let's talk a little bit about, I wanted to let you touch a little bit about Ames Resource Recovery, because that is, I mean, one of the things they try to make energy.
Yes.
Over there. And they've had some issues technically and have resolved a lot of those, we hope. But it is there a possibility? Do you send some things over that way for it? Or is that something that could be done? Or
It's always explored, I guess. But then how to logistically make that happen? You know, if we were ever shut down, we could. We have that option. You know, overall, we don't shut down much. More so than anybody else being shut down. Usually if we're shut down, a lot of other landfills and a lot of other facilities are shut down as well. But, you know, knock on wood that it doesn't happen. But, yeah, in theory, that could happen. That's part of the agreement, the arrangement. Typically, if they have issues over at the resource plant, if you're not familiar with what Ames does, any listeners out there about that, they try to burn their stuff for energy and reclaim it. So the Ames Resource Recovery Plant collects their materials from Story County, primarily Ames, and then burn as much as they can. Now, not everything can be burnt either. If you're talking about C&D waste, construction and demolition waste, you know, buildings don't run well through their building materials like that. So all that stuff comes to us. But, you know, the stuff that we call it fluff, the stuff that doesn't make it into their system, it fluffs over the top and comes out, and that stuff comes out to our facility on a regular basis. So, you know, the Ames would like to promote themselves as, you know, we're turning our garbage back into energy. And it's great. I'm not, that's what they do. That's fine. Truth of the matter, again, the truth behind it is it produces waste also. Even when it does burn, the leftover residue has to be cleaned out sometime, and that creates more stuff. Where does it go? It goes to a landfill. The stuff that can't be burnt, the fluff, the materials that gets diverted, the move-out loads, you know, Ames is a big community with loads coming out. So the stuff that,
you know,
couches, chairs, you know, moving out of an apartment, all that stuff gets diverted to us. So, you know, it will, they don't burn 100% of it over there, honestly. So where does it go? It goes to a landfill, and that's part of what we do to as part of the system. So, Yeah. The more they can burn, and I know they're looking at a study of how they can do a bigger expansion. They've been around as operating, I believe, since the 70s.
Yeah.
Certainly Ames has changed over that much time. So I think they're feeling the need to do more to expand, and hopefully they're looking at ways to be more impactful and be able to take more material at their facility.
Our recycling efforts for Boone County are all voluntary.
Yes.
Basically. People want to find out how to do it better. Do you guys go out and do programs? Do you
Absolutely.
Do things like that?
Yeah, so? Love to. Love to get out to talk to community members, schools, any organization. Talk to people one-on-one, but you know, if we can do it to 20 people instead and make more of an impact, we would certainly do that as well. But any size, any groups, Kiwanis, Lions mm-hmm. Club, anybody that any organizations out there that would like to hear the truth about it, learn more about recycling or about diversion, anything that you environmental impact that you mm-hmm. want to learn more about, yes, please give us a call. Glad to come out and talk to you.
I was going to say, because some things you buy that have, well, it's got a recycling symbol on it. Well, that maybe means it was made with recyclable yeah. material. It doesn't mean yeah. you can do it again.
Yeah. Or it is that material, but it doesn't yeah. mean it's recyclable. Here, it's not 100%. Yeah, that's the troubling part about that symbol. Sometimes is that it has recyclable material in it, or it's made from this material, or it's recyclable somewhere. Maybe not here though. And so, don't assume you know it all with the recycling. Keep up with the times and the terms and how we run our program now.
So, if they do want to call the landfill again for any kind of a program or anything
yeah,
like that.
Any
I think it'd be the easiest way, or if they see you somewhere, hey
you.
Legendary
Joe. Yeah. yeah. yes, please call us 433-0591. Glad to help out in any way. Check out our website. There's a lot of information out there as well, but you know, if it comes down to I don't really know, can I do this? Don't guess. Don't wish recycle, don't do any
I'm using recycle. Your new mantra. When in doubt, throw it out.
Yep.
So
it works. It's true.
I mean,
you know, there's something about it to be like, I'm not really sure. That just listen to that voice. Well, then just throw it out. It'll probably cause more problems down the line by guessing wrong.
No, there's that.
Yeah. But
I know. Yeah, if it was easy, we would all be, you know, doing it. And again, the folks need to remember, yes, we just do it voluntarily. And again, if you want to be doing it as well as you can, there are at least things we can do here. You know, not just not what they can do in Cedar Rapids or down in Des Moines,
right.
But ours is a little different. Our menu of acceptables.
That's
how's
right.
That?
So. It could vary county to county, city to city. Same differences in the same county
sure.
In certain situations, but
and it could change.
It could. You bet.
2-3 months down the road, you could say, you know what, we could take this because they've got a market for it and they want it.
Yep. So. Yep. So it like glass, we can recycle that. We actually pick out a lot of the glass and send it separately because if we take it to, that is something that we send back over to Ames, actually, when you mentioned mm-hmm. that, was the glass collection that we are able to do on a small-scale basis. We'll accumulate enough and a couple Gaylords full, and then we'll have the Ames
come and
roll off.
Sure.
Stop on their way back, and they backhaul it for us to their facility. And it actually goes to Ripple Glass down in Kansas City. So they're a provider there. They've allowed us to send that glass over to them, and then it goes to Ripple Glass in, like I said, in Kansas City. So that's a niche market for it there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's, you know, it works in our single stream. It's just even better to separate that portion and send it to Ripple Glass, their niche market.
We keep, you know, they're out there, so
yep.
Feed the beast.
That's right.
That's what we're trying to do. Again, I was going to say, household hazardous waste, still going to wait till, what, April? April
yep.
is when you'll be coming yep. back with that. I know citywide cleanups are coming up. I think you already got a request for waiving tipping fees for somebody.
Yep,
so.
We did. It's that time, too. That's what a lot of cities will start coming in with that, of making their plans for doing their citywide cleanups. So if you're a member in a community that wants to do that, please get your information sent out to us.
And remember, they're all part of that. You have to operate. You operate under a service area plan,
yeah.
a comprehensive plan, basically for a landfill.
Yeah. That's right. So it's our designated area, and it can get kind of complex. Basically, it's all of Boone County. most of Greene County and then a few outliers is it. But if you're a member of our comprehensive plan area, if you're familiar with that term, then we will work with you on doing some type of help.
Because every once in a while I say, people, why are these people bringing it here? Well, because they're part of that plan.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's very fickle, too. And I, you know, I had one customer, a guy came to our landfill, and he's, you know, he just moved. You know, I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. So where are you from? Ankeny. I'm like, wow, you made the drive all the way up to Boone to dump your stuff off, and I had to refuse him. You know, I helped him out to try to tell him where he can take his appliances, because that's a recycled good. That's a, it doesn't require them to come to wherever. So I recommended to go to a different facility with that. We don't have to accept that here, but then the garbage by DNR regulations is, it's our comprehensive area, our planning area. Ankeny does not fall into that, so sorry. good luck. Hopefully you take it to your proper facility, yeah. But it was educational for him.
That would be the Metro Waste Authority.
Yeah.
Let them deal with that,
yep,
too.
That's right.
Which, by the way, we do play with them. You got to play nice with your neighbors.
Yep, so, absolutely.
Those
yep.
two.
So. Help each other.
John Rosa, our guest on our program today. I know. It was interesting then beginning there.
We,
there so.
Yeah, we made it.
We made it to yeah. through. And once again, folks, if you do want to find out more about recycling that's available in Boone County, and I know we've got our drop-off location. Some people treat it just as, that's where I'm going to dump everything. Please don't.
Don't. You're ruining it.
it is for recycling purposes.
That's right.
And that's, again, it's all done voluntarily, and it'll be as good as it is as you make it. So.
I'll give a shout-out to the over in Ogden, too. They put up a hoop building over there for their recycling drop-off. Kudos to them that they went. It helps us dramatically with our process instead of shoving it into those little small sheds and then digging them back out. So now we're able to put a dump trailer in there, and they fill that up. And they're doing, so far, a great job. It's not 100%, but still it's not being abused of garbage and stuff. So keep it that way, please. But kudos to the community over there that they made the effort. Got, I think, some grant funds to help out with it. But thank you, thank you, thank you. That speeds up our time
little things,
spent over there. So,
little things help
thank
out.
You.
Like when Friends of the Ledges do it. You got some recycling going on at
you
the
bet.
Ledges, too. So. Again, it's little things like that that'll help out and make the whole thing work a little smoother. So
that's what it's all about.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.